Good morning. Joining us in studio this morning is Sheriff John Montgomery, Arkansas's longest-serving sheriff. I always like to lead with that, sir. That's a big deal.
You're saying I'm old, is what you're saying.
Longest-serving. No, you're seasoned. You have experience. It's a good thing, right? No, we're so excited to have you in studio this morning. This is something that some of you will remember. Sheriff Montgomery and Mr. Bob Knight did this a lot back in the day, so I'm excited to have him in. We are going to take your calls as we discuss the recent barrage of scams that has been affecting our area. That number to call will be 870-425-5522. Kim is standing by to take those calls. Let us give a little background before we get into the calls. We do have several that were submitted to us as well. But Sheriff, first and foremost, thank you for your time. We're really excited. We've heard a lot of people that are ready to hear what we have to say this morning, what you have to say, not me.
So. Well, and I'm happy to be here. And I just briefly want to say thank you to you, KTLO, and you're right. Bob Knight and I used to do this. People first said I was crazy to do a live call-in show, but it worked out awesome. And maybe, who knows, we might do this more often in the future. But again, I'm very blessed. I am the longest serving sheriff right now in Arkansas. I've been sheriff for 9 elections, 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. And thank you to the listeners and to the voters for having put your trust in me all these years. And this is, to me, is a big deal, because we're all about protecting the citizens. And unfortunately, we're seeing a rise, not just here, but nationwide, in scams. They've become much more sophisticated. And so, again, I'm glad to be here, and hopefully we'll help some of the listeners be aware and pass this information along to their friends and loved ones.
Take us back to last week. There was a story that you released, a press release from the sheriff's office. It was on KTLO and KTLO.com, of course. And the title was "The Three Money Mules Arrested." And this story went statewide and even nationwide. You got some mentions nationwide as well.
Correct.
Yeah. So tell us about that story and kind of how it all happened, how it evolved, and some of the trademarks of that scam that we're seeing elsewhere.
Okay. Well, we actually called it Operation Ghostbusters. Okay. And the reason, I know that sounds funny, but there was a reason. When you think about it, the scammers, so many of these scammers originate from overseas. They're like a ghost. You never see them. They scam people out of the money, and there's nothing we as law enforcement can do about it. So what happened, we arrested, if you remember, there was an earlier press release where we had arrested a Chinese national. And what had happened, an elderly lady was scammed out of, I think it was $71,000. Well, she had said over and over, someone picked up the money. Well, no, that didn't happen. But she was so insistent that, and again, hats off to, I know the sheriff's office has been getting a lot of the credit, Mountain Home Police Department. There's all these agencies we'll talk about later that work together. But working with them, we're actually to be able to get bring camera footage from neighbors. And sure enough, there was someone that picked up the money. And so that prompted us to reach out to Homeland Security and the FBI to help them get involved. We were able, working with the city with some of their technology, we were able to get a vehicle description and ultimately a license plate number. And that vehicle was traced as a rental vehicle out of Dallas. And so in the process, the mule, if you will, was being picked up in Carroll County. Mm-hmm. So was being held there. Ultimately, ICE grabbed him and took him to their ICE facility. We got our arrest warrant and then went and picked him up, brought him up to our facility where he still is at this point. Well, that, because of the relationship and all that involvement with Homeland Security and the FBI and ICE, we got together and partnered with, it's called Trilogy Media, and they're known and have been known for years. And what they've done is exposed, whether it's child sexual predators or scammers, etc. The problem they've had is while they see them, catch them, expose them, film them, when you walk up after the fact and hand the case to law enforcement, there's not a lot law enforcement can do, because there's a lot of things that have to happen in order to make an arrest. And so, to my knowledge, this is the very first time that they've worked with law enforcement. So weeks in the planning. And so we get in, we get everything ready. And so they came in, and so we set up what we call a bait house, if you will, and we tried to lure those scammers in. Now, keep in mind, this actual scammer is overseas. It is the money mule, if you will, that shows up to pick up the money. And they're very sophisticated in how they operate, but we were very successful. We made some arrests, and we unfortunately, we had several other, I think there was more than 10 at one point in Baxter County, here to pick up cash that we were able to thwart. So I don't know if that was maybe too short or too long of an answer to your question.
Why were the other 10 not arrested?
Well, and again, very complicated. You've got there, and again, the prosecutor made it very clear because this is a little different. You know, you think of a drug buy. You know, you're buying drugs from a bad guy. Well, in this case, we're actually setting up a sting operation, if you will. And so the prosecutor met with David Etheridge, and he said, I've got to have, you know, these elements in order to be able to charge them. And so the fact that that mule was here but didn't actually show up and actually do those A, B, C, and Ds, we can't arrest them at that point.
Two questions. So the originator of the scam, the scammer, is international.
Correct.
Do we know who they were?
Not exactly. And keep in mind, some of this stuff I'm not going to divulge just because this investigation is far from over. Now, the feds have kind of taken it over at this point. We've got their locals that we did arrest, but the federal authorities are working, and this will go on for weeks and months. So some of the stuff I'm going to avoid answering just because I don't want to take a chance in messing up their investigation.
And when we think of scams, it's pretty uncommon to have an actual person come and take some of the money, because typically they're asking for bank account numbers, credit card numbers, go to Walmart, buy a gift card, send it to, you know, send the number to this online. I mean, it's usually not an actual person being involved.
Correct. And that's why they call them a money mule. So you've heard drug mules. I mean, that's hauling drugs. And the money mule, again, they're hired by the scammers, and they get a percentage of whatever they take. Interestingly enough, because of this story and the publicity they got, I had a lady from California reach out to me, and she was told that we were doing something about it. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, you know, it's easy to say we are, but there's a lot of things. So I actually reached out to Chappie Gray with Trilogy Media, and I said, hey, here's a lady in California. Well, I got notified this morning that lady had been scammed out of $100,000. And so awareness, and that's, I want to talk about this. So while we're happy in the success and being able to arrest the bad guys, if you will, it's the awareness that we absolutely want to get out to the public, because, I'm going to fast forward. So towards the very end of our operation here, again, they were trying to lure the bad guys here. At the end, when they found out it was Mountain Home, Arkansas, they were getting hung up on. And I find that great. We would love to get that word out. You don't want to come here because your chances of getting caught is huge. So that's what we want. We want the awareness not only for our local citizens, don't fall victims, but we also want the awareness for the bad guys. Mm-hmm. You probably don't want to do that here.
How much money were they scamming out of the one individual?
Well, you're talking about the sting operation? Uh-huh. Well, these were not actual victims. We were setting them up to pretend to be victims.
Well, I was going to say, how much were you asking for?
One number was, I know, $50,000. Another one was $25,000. I know another one was supposed to be $250,000.
And the bond set for these individuals that were arrested was $25,000?
Correct, but it was $25,000 cash. So I'm going to...
That's a change that the Trump administration has been making. I've seen that in the news here lately.
Well, so to digress, typically, now keep in mind, bond is not punishment. Bond is to guarantee that person will show up for court. So a bondsman, you can put up cash, or a bondsman can get you out. Well, most people are not going to have $25,000. Now keep in mind, of the four people we arrested, three of the four have immigration holds on them because they're here illegally. So the risk flight factor, flight risk is huge. So the judge agreed that we need to make this cash. Now, they're still there. They've not put up the money. But if they put up that $25,000, a couple things happen. Number one, we have their money. And so through negotiations at the time when they go to court, there's a possibility we might be able to use that money to pay back victims. Number two, if they run and they don't show up for court, they lose their $25,000. So we're pleased with the prosecutor's office and the judges that's on board. Again, while that bond seems low, it's cash. And so it just gives us some abilities to possibly work in the future.
Let's open this up for your caller questions. Give us a call, 870-425-5522. Kim is standing by. We'll answer the phone, and then we'll get to those as well. But Sheriff, you know, it's kind of a new crime, right? It's a new age crime. Has the law caught up to the crime?
No, it's not. And because it's so much of it's international, there's just lots of complications there. And I'm going to say this is why, to me, we would not have been able to do this and have the success had it not been for the partnerships. So, again, it was Homeland Security. It was the FBI. It was immigration. It was the state police. It was the sheriff's office. It was the city police. We all worked together, and it took all of that working together in order to make this accomplished. And I'll tell you, the part that was great, there was no egos at the table. I mean, everybody didn't make any difference. We're here to get the job done. And it's very refreshing to have that kind of partnership working with other law enforcement.
What are some of the obvious signs that you're being scammed?
Well, here's some quick triggers, and these are automatic. If they tell you not to call law enforcement, that's a red flag, and you should just hang up on them immediately. If they instruct you to go to your bank and make a withdrawal of cash, That's a red flag. You automatically know that it's a scam.
We've got a caller on the line. Adam?
Hello.
Hello. You're live on the air with Sheriff John Montgomery.
Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning.
My question is about when these individuals go to a bank or savings facility, whatever, to draw out this money. Do the banks, I don't want to say the word responsibility, but do they not have a duty, especially if it's an elderly person, to question them about this withdrawal and maybe try to block that from happening?
Well, I do know that happens a lot. At the end of the day, when you stop and think about it, it's your money. So if it's your money and you insist I'm taking the money out, there's not a lot that the bank can do. But I do know for a fact that the banks do bring that up and report and say, hey, please don't, you know, this is a scam. You should call law enforcement, you know, or something to try to.
Banks will limit the amount of money you can withdraw at one time.
Correct.
So.
Correct. And that's why sometimes it's more than it's happened more than once. In other words, they may have gone, get part of it.
It's usually around that $10,000 mark, right? Because anything over that, you have to report.
That part I don't know the answer to, but yes, the banks I do know, they do notify, and not just banks. I mean, there's other stories when you go to, you know, to get money orders or things like that. I do know of situations where clerks have said, "Hey, wait, I think this is a scam. You probably need to call law enforcement."
But or go buy Visa gift cards.
Oh.
That's a big one. And then go buy the Visa gift card and then send them the card number.
Card number or mail it or whatever. And that's a telltale sign.
Mm-hmm. Do you think these happen more over the phone or more over the computer?
It used to be over the phone. Now we're seeing it more and more over the computer. Mm-hmm. Your computer's been hacked. You've got, and they're pretending to be FBI or whatever. And going back to the money mules, I know one in particular was pretending to be an FBI agent, for example, to come to pick up the cash through that particular scam.
Again, that number to call, 870-425-5522. Call and ask any of your scam-related questions to Sheriff John Montgomery. Sheriff, are there ever circumstances where you want to go along with this?
No, never.
Okay.
Absolutely never. Do not play along with them. And I'll just tell you, they become very, very sophisticated. And so while you may think it's fun to play along, you may say something or trigger something that actually gives them information that you don't even realize you're giving them. So, no, do not. You know, one of the things, and I've had this happen to me several times, is I'll get a call, and on my phone it says it's from my bank. And it shows up my bank's number.
Yeah.
And they say, hey, your credit card looks like it's been compromised. Did you make this purchase? Okay. And so, no, I didn't. But here's absolutely don't talk to them. Here's your answer. I tell you what, thank you for calling. I'm going to hang up and I'm going to call the number on the back of my credit card and check it. I will tell you, just in the last month, I've had three of those calls. And each time I said that, they hung up on me immediately. Call the number on the back and say, and I do. I call the number on the back of the credit card, say, hey, I've got a call. I'm just checking to see if there's been any fraudulent activity. And in all three cases, of course, the answer was no.
And in the digital space, if you get a text message, or really if you get an email from what is supposed to be Visa or Chase or MasterCard, click on the address of what the email was sent by. They can put all the different logos and it will look just like something that will come from one of your companies, but click on who that was from and you will see it is not from Visa.com.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's, and another big scam that's going around is you didn't pay your toll. You know, toll booths, yeah. You get text those messages saying if you don't pay. Now, it's not a big amount that they're asking, but when I know of at least two people that I know very well that fell for that scam and sent them money for a toll that was a fraudulent.
Well, the one that was going around a lot a couple months ago was the text message scam from the United States Postal Service. And they said that they'd been trying to deliver a package. And I know a lot of people that got duped in that one. I mean, it looked very official. Most of us have some sort of package that we're waiting on, you know, and they said we couldn't deliver it. I don't know if you had to pay more money or what the end of it was. You might remember.
Well, and it depends because, I mean, I've had those come across my desk from FedEx and from UPS and the Postal Service. But what a lot of it is they're trying to glean certain pieces of information.
Yeah,
and so you click on it, and they'll ask, well, we need you to verify this or this. Mm-hmm. And so, again, it's easy to fall for that.
870-425-5522 is the number to call. We have a couple questions that were sent in to news@ktlo.com. So you still have time to send those in. I'll try and check that email as quickly as I can. But one, and this is a good one, if my Facebook page ever gets hacked, is that a threat to me?
Well, it could be. And the reason I say it could be, it depends on what's there. They can post, for example, there's scams that's going around where they will hack and make it look like you've posted where you're selling these, you know, your tractor, your lawnmower, or you're having a yard sale, and they'll ask you to do that. Well, they've taken over. I have a friend that they took over her Facebook page and pretended to be selling a whole bunch of stuff, and they would ask for half the money up front to hold the item. Now, the items were priced cheap enough, you think, oh my gosh, this is an incredible deal. Well, I know she went, some of her friends were duped and lost money because they thought it was her. So the answer is yes, it could be. And most of the time, Facebook will give you an option so that you can have a friend be like your backup to help get you recovered if you'll put that information in there.
There's one that was going around to where if you ever go play the free games online. I had a neighbor do this. She loved to play solitaire on her computer. Well, she inadvertently clicked on one of those ads that was on the sidebar and got into a space to where someone got into her computer and took her computer over and then started calling relentlessly. I'm saying 50, 60, 75 calls a day. And yeah. I had gone over to help her with it, and they wanted to be mailed gift cards, and I just picked up the phone and I said, I'm contacting the police, I'll never call again. And that was the last she ever heard from them.
Well, and that triggers another thought. So one of the things, if you have been scammed and you have fallen victim and they've got your bank account number or whatever the case may be, you need to immediately go to the bank and have the bank close that account out and open you up a new one, because the scammers can actually, if they get your bank account number, they can actually use that to launder money in and out of your account for other victims out there. So again, if you've fallen victim, report it to law enforcement, but at the same time, go to the bank, get that account closed down, and open up a new one.
And first and foremost, we want everyone to know, don't beat yourself up if you fell for this. They are highly sophisticated in their approach and their scams. And I mean, we're all leery, and I mean, we could all make a wrong move.
Well, and we, unfortunately, we take way too many reports of victims here in the area, but we feel like that's only a tip of the iceberg. Yeah. We feel strongly there's a lot of folks out there that have fallen victims and they're embarrassed or whatever the case may be, and they don't want to report it. Again, you're right, Heather. If you've fallen for it, report it. Now, I want to understand that doesn't necessarily mean we're always going to be able. In fact, the odds of us getting your money back are slim. But at the same time,
you think that's why most people don't report it?
I do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we want that reported because we turn those over, depending on the scam and what's involved. We turn that over to authority, federal authorities, and they're, you know, and again, it's painstaking, but a lot of times they can put a case together. And while we may not get your money back, again, hopefully we can at least, maybe the bad guy gets arrested.
Well, and I will say this is another example of, for me personally, why I like to do my business locally. You know, I like to have a local bank. I like to have local insurance and stuff so that if there is a problem, I know exactly who I need to talk to.
Yeah, and some of those scams, you know, like I'm going to shut your electricity off because you didn't pay your bill. We need your credit card. Well, excuse me. No, I'll tell you what, I'm going to hang up. Mm-hmm. Don't use the number they gave you. Look it up and call the number yourself.
Call Entergy, call North Arkansas Electric.
Exactly. Call. Don't just say, you know, call this number.
Right. Let me get to, this is kind of a longer question, but one that was sent in to for our news at ktlo.com email address. For months now, we've been getting 25 to 30 spam phone calls a day. Sometimes they answer, but most of the time they never leave a message. The calls we have answered were from insurance companies regarding burial, death, or groceries. We've asked to be put on the do not call list. It does not work. They have their home phone number on the do not call list, and it starts ringing. Phone starts ringing at 8 a.m., and it goes all the way until 8 p.m., and there's nothing they can do about it. Advice?
Well, I wish I had a magic answer. I will tell you that the Attorney General, Tim Griffin, he's sort of taken this, and he's working to try to get something done about that. But for the most part, I will tell you, and when I speak to groups, I speak to a lot of elderly groups, and we talk about scams. Here's what I tell them. If you get a call from an unknown number, in other words, the one that's not familiar with you, in fact, I do it myself. I answer, even my personal cell phone, I answer the phone, Baxter County Sheriff's Office, Fraud Division.
Can we all do that?
You sure can. And if they tell you you got a warrant for your arrest, which, again, law enforcement doesn't call you and tell you that. But if you do get that call, all you got to do is say, my dad's the sheriff. I'll tell you what, I'm speaking to the realtors later today, and I gave them that advice. And I've had two of them said that they did that, and they hung up on them almost immediately.
Wasn't there a scam going around? Individuals were being called and saying that they had a family member in the Baxter County Jail and they needed bail money.
Yeah, still happening.
Still happening?
Still happening.
Walk us through that scenario.
So typically, and again, you think about it, with all of the technology and our website, I mean, you can see who's in the jail and you can see what their bond is. And so they're calling the family member saying, if you'll give us this money, we'll put them out on an ankle monitor or release them. Or sometimes they'll get released. And then they'll call the family member and say, hey, they shouldn't have been released. And if you don't pay $500, we're going to pick them back up. Again, we don't do that. And if you get that call, hang up, call the sheriff's office, and we can you'll actually get to talk to us and get the real story.
Question sent in. What's the single best advice you have for me to protect myself from a scam?
Well, I'm going to quickly run through a list of things. So
the mic is yours.
Okay. Well, all right. So first of all, if they tell you don't call law enforcement, my scam. If they tell you to go to your bank, withdraw cash, scam. If you have to pay anything, now this is the key. If you have to pay $1 to win a prize, it's automatically a scam because they cannot legally charge you to win a prize. And if you think about it, if you won the Powerball last night, do they call you for taxes? No, they take them out before you get the money. So if they ask you for even $1, it's automatically a scam. Hang up. If you're instructed by gift cards, like you talked about earlier, you know, Visa cards, gift cards, green cards, or all those different cards, and they want you to give you the number off the back, it's a scam. If you get a call from the IRS, it's a scam because the IRS doesn't call you.
I always hear Marcella Norell in my head saying, they always send you a letter first. They always send you a letter. The IRS, that is. So.
If you get a call, you have a relative in jail. And that they need bond money. Now, I will tell you, this happens. It kind of makes a cycle. Mm-hmm. No, don't take their word for it, because what time does it say, don't call anybody, I need bail money. No, tell you what, you can call the sheriff's office. Even in another state, we can track that down to see if that's mm-hmm. actually true. One case in particular, a grandfather was trying to bail his grandson out, and I said, did you call him? And they said, no, they told me not to. So I said, well, let's pick up the phone and call. Grandson was at work. Okay, so those are easy. If you get a call saying you missed jury duty and you're going to get arrested, nope, that doesn't work. We don't do that. That one, actually, I know people that's fallen victim to that here locally. We don't do that. So if you get a call.
Are you sure Kanda doesn't have a gun and she's not out rounding people up?
I don't know if she wants to, but no, she's not. If something pops up on your computer saying they're with Microsoft or Google,
They're not.
No. That does not happen.
And don't click the attachments.
No, do
not. Please do not click the attachments from unknown sources.
Absolutely. If they ever ask for your Social Security number, your bank account number, it's a scam. Don't give it and hang up. Mm-hmm. If you get someone from Medicare and they say, hey, we just need to verify, we need your personal information. No, Medicare already has that. They don't need your personal information. You know, you can stop me anytime, but I've got a few things that, in fact, I'm going to give you this list, Heather, if you want to post some of these, you might post online.
Jesse's already shaking his head. Yes, he's already got it ready to go.
Okay. If you get a call from the sheriff's office, now keep in mind what they do, they can spoof the numbers. Now, what spoofing means.
That was one of our questions that were sent in.
Okay. When you get a number that says that it's from the Baxter County Sheriff's Office, you know, the caller says, but the number actually shows that it's from. It's not. They've spoofed that number to make it look like, hoping that you will actually answer the phone. When you get somebody like that, and again, sometimes they're using a legitimate officer's name in order to try to scam you. Easy. If you hang up, call the sheriff's office and talk to a live person, not the person that called you, because we just don't do that.
Let me add to that one too, sir, and I bet some of us have this has happened to them, but if you have a family member who's passed away and someone else takes that number and then they call your phone, it looks, you know, if you haven't deleted that number out of your phone, you know, the scammers will pick up those phone numbers based upon records and use that against you.
I've actually had calls from myself where it looked like it was my own number calling me. Mm-hmm. And so, again, you just got to be very cautious. And I think a couple things here. If they ever tell you to lie to your family or to your bank, then you know it's a scam. And especially if they tell you this is a secret, don't tell anybody. Mm-hmm. Those are obvious telltale signs it's a scam.
I didn't know if we had a caller on Kim was talking to somebody on the phone, so I didn't. I think we're answering all their questions before they can even send them in.
Well, maybe.
Is the Money Mules, is that the most memorable scam story that you have, or the scam case?
I would probably say yeah. And again, if you think about these folks. And that's why we called it Ghostbusters, because they're all ghosts. And so for the first time, we are able to arrest some of these folks. Hmm. One of the things I mentioned earlier was talking about the law enforcement working together. To me, this is extremely important, because it didn't always used to be that way. And it didn't, because the problem occurs is when you've got egos getting in the way, or but this the local law enforcement works so well together, where the city, county, state, and again we worked with the feds, and that relationship is extremely important in order to get results.
I think we have a caller waiting online. Good morning. You're on KTLO with Sheriff John Montgomery.
Hey, hi. Thank you. This is Tim Fitzmars. Hey, John. How you doing?
I'm all right.
I had a question, and you may have answered it. I may have missed it. When we get calls from what they say is the state police and the police department raising money, it kind of feels like a scam, but I wonder, do they really do that? Does the state police of Arkansas call around trying to get money?
Great question, Tim.
All right, so here's the way I'm going to answer that. The reason I'm going to answer it this way is because does the state police call? No. What they, and I say they do, and typically some of these folks, one in particular I'll just use as an example, is the Deputy Sheriff's Association, okay? And they're an organization located, I think, out of Georgia. So if you ask me, is that a legitimate organization, I'm going to have to say, yes, they are. The deputy sheriffs don't call. They hire these outside firms to do these calls. Now, the problem with that is that it, while it's a legitimate organization, only about 20 cents out of every dollar that's raised goes somewhere. And to my knowledge, none of that money has ever come to Baxter County. So my advice when you get those, and again, there's a lot of great organizations, is to give to your local charity. If it's law enforcement, if, again, everybody has a passion. So if your passion is, give it to the food bank, give it to the Sheriff's Foundation, give it to the Fraternal Order Police or the hospital or something. Mm-hmm. Give it to your local where it can actually, your dollar goes a long way. But going back to your original thing.
I bet if somebody had a check that they wanted to give to the Baxter County Sheriff's Foundation, you'd go by and pick it up.
I would go by and pick it up. And we're very blessed here. But that money stays here and is used locally.
So I think we have another caller that's waiting on the air. Good morning. You're on with Baxter County Sheriff John Montgomery.
Yes. Hi. I have kind of a just curiosity question. I know we all get a lot of telemarketing calls, but lately, almost daily, I get a call from, it doesn't give the name of a business on my screen, it just shows toll-free number. And it's an 800 number, they never leave a message, and I don't answer. But I get these almost daily, and I'm just curious, who might be calling daily when I don't even answer.
Well, one of the things is it's hard to say who that is, but it's most likely a telemarketer. And so, again, not answering is fine. Or if you just want to answer and hang up right quick without saying anything, that's fine. Or do what I suggest. Answer the phone, Baxter County Sheriff's Office, Fraud Division.
That's my favorite line from this morning.
So, but again, not answering, not engaging, I think is your best advice. But if you get tired of hearing it ring, just pick it up and hang right back up.
The one that I keep getting right now is I've been approved. My financing has been approved, and I don't ever answer it. It goes to, a lot of times the cell phones are getting better. They will alert you that says potential spam. It won't even ring, and it just goes straight to voicemail.
Correct. Yeah, and in fact, I had one this morning that I've checked voicemails, and it was you've been approved for some business loan or whatever.
Kim's on the phone with someone, so I just wanted to double check there. So.
Again, part of this is awareness. And so we encourage you to, again, while they target the elderly, it's not just the elderly that's falling scam to this.
Oh,
and so,
no.
Not at all. And so.
So don't be embarrassed.
Do not.
I mean, we're all getting it.
We're all getting it. Yeah. So it's extremely important that we get that word out and encourage your family members. You know, if you get a call, think about it. Nothing is that urgent. And if you're not sure, if you think, wow, this may be legit, that's fine. Call law enforcement. Call your law enforcement and run that by, and we can track it down. I had a gentleman yesterday came in with a Publisher's Clearinghouse letter. That's the old scam.
They still do that?
But he had a check, and the check was made out to him.
Uh-huh.
I think it was $19,000, and the instructions on it said, please call you know,
yeah.
that. No, that's a scam.
Again, the number to call that's not a scam this morning, 870-425-5522. Again, that's 870-425-5522. Sheriff, you mentioned that the Attorney General of Arkansas was doing a lot of work on this. Can you expand upon that?
Well, and I don't know all the details. I just know he's frustrated like the rest of us are about all of these calls, and the do not call list doesn't seem to work. And
do you have to go back like and put numbers? Someone told me that you have to do that every 3 years or something. I'd never heard that before.
I'd not heard that before, but again, these are obviously, so to me, they need to really crack down and make it a severe penalty if they call you on that do not call list. And I think that's the way you're going to get their attention, is to get in their pocketbook.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like, it seems like more of the do not calls are from international calls. And, you know, what a lot of people need to realize now is a lot of the voices that you're hearing on the scam calls are AI generated.
Yes, exactly. And so
it's very conversational, but it is completely AI.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. We had one of our secretaries actually got a call that said that they were so-and-so with the Baxter County Sheriff's Office, but they had a foreign accent. Well, we don't, that's not us. And so, but you're right. Now with AI, they're able to disguise that and make it sound, while they may originate overseas from, that's what it makes it sounds like. It's like local.
We're going to take a few more calls. We've got one hanging on the line right now. Good morning. You're on with Sheriff John Montgomery.
Hi. I keep getting these calls, sometimes as many as 8 or 10 a day, from somebody insisting that my insurance has changed and blah-de-de-blah-de-de-blah, and I hang up on them, and I keep, within minutes, I get another one.
Well, do you want me to answer that, or you got something else?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So real quick, what can happen with that is, again, they're just going to keep calling because they're going to hope that you're going to break down and give them some information that they can glean. So what my advice to you is a couple things. Number one, tell them, I've talked to my local insurance agent. This is not true. Okay. Again, hang up on them. Or again, next time they call, answer the phone, Baxter County Sheriff's Office Fraud Division, or tell them your dad's the sheriff. I mean, and that I am the one that handles your business. And the number for the sheriff's office is 425-7000. So it's an easy number to remember to give to them.
Very good. So thank you for your call. All right. We even had one of our questions on there. They had had a local phone service, and they had contacted the company, and the company had even come out to their house and helped them and made sure that everything was fine. That's a fantastic thing that local companies can do.
Well, and on that triggers something, because if your computer, if you get that message that pops up on your computer saying it's Microsoft or Google or whatever, and again, like you said before, do not click on any of those links. But it would be my advice, if you get one of those, that what you want to do is you want to get a hold of whoever does your computer work, because they possibly may have something installed on your computer that you need removed that you don't even know about.
Again, we'll go to, we've got callers backed up on the phone here. Good morning. You're on with Sheriff John Montgomery.
Good morning. I do have a suggestion. We get so many robocalls and spam calls on our home landline that we still maintain. We went to Walmart. Walmart has an AT&T call blocker phone, and it's a 3-phone set. And it's got a thing when most of the time it acknowledges and says robocall or spam, and you press a button and it blocks that number. And anytime you see these fraudulent numbers, you know, like from out of state and everything, I'll tell you, it's just so easy. Block that call. If you answer, a lot of times they'll keep calling back because they know they got a live person.
You're exactly right. One of the things, you have to be a little cautious on the blocking of the number. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you got a robocall or a spam call that looked like the number was the Baxter County Sheriff's Office, and they spoofed it and you block it, then you would never be able to get a call from us, for example. Or so if they disguised it to be your insurance agent or something like that, and you block it. So you have to be very careful. You're right. I've blocked many a number, but you kind of have to be a little on the careful side.
Good morning. You're on the air with Sheriff John Montgomery.
Yes, I'd like to know, I've gotten, like, deals on WhatsApp and Signal and stuff like that from people, and they ask for, like, gift cards and other stuff. Should I block them, or should I turn that in to the Sheriff's Department, or what should I do?
Well, if they're just asking for the information, then probably not report it because you've not become a victim. But in answer to your question, if you get that from somebody asking for that, yeah, I probably would block them.
Yeah. Again, 870-425-5522, 870-425-5522. Just a few more minutes that we'll be here in the studio with Sheriff John Montgomery.
Well, again, I just can't thank you and KTLO enough for allowing us to do this. Again, a part of it's awareness, and it's important that we make our friends, our relatives aware of all these scams, the different types of scams. Again, we're going to, I know he's posted some of these telltale mm-hmm. signs on your website, and we encourage folks to go look at those, print them off, get them to your friends.
Yeah, and send this story to them. If they've missed our show, we're going to post this show in its entirety on KTLO.com as soon as we get done and wrap things up. But Sheriff, just a couple more minutes here. Any lasting words of advice for our listeners?
Well, one, be cautious. Check you know, your friends and relatives. Part of this, and we've witnessed this, where an elderly person has fallen scam. And they don't want to tell anybody, and so they don't tell their family. Don't be embarrassed. It happens. And so while you've taken the precautions, report it, tell your family. And you also want to tell your friends because you don't want them to fall victim for that same scam. They've become very sophisticated, and I'm telling you, they can make it sound so real. But again, take precautions, and we encourage you, if you're in doubt, call law enforcement and have us check it.
And if I always say, trust your gut. If you open that email or you see that call and you go, is this for real? 99% of the time, it's usually not for real. So, trust your instincts on that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If I got time.
Yes, okay. Sir.
All right. So,
you're not going to be sheriff much longer. So, I mean, I got you an open mic here. You better take it.
So, Chappie Gray, which was with Trilogy Media, gave me a list of some what I call triggers. And so, this year, she calls it the golden rule. So, I'm just going to quickly run through these because we want you to share these. So, one, if you have to pay, walk away. Even if the name is real, the caller might not be. Jackpots don't need fees. Going back to what I said before, if you have to pay anything, it's a scam. Never give your bank information, ever. Never give your bank login information. If you get emails that says they're going to give you money and we just need to help money to get money in from out of state or overseas, no, it's a scam. If they start asking questions about your home, your bank, do you drive? If they start asking you, do you drive? What they're looking for is, are you able to be mobile or not have to have help? If they tell you that they want to, you want to be very careful. And this one is coming around. So romance. So they're a much younger person claiming to be, want to be help and be your friend. And then they just keep luring you in over a period of weeks. Now, keep in mind, some of these scams don't just happen one time over the phone. It's a long term, maybe months, that they trying to gain your trust to scam you out of money. And if they ask you to move money from, one account to another, that's a big telltale sign. And last, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Sheriff, sound advice today. Man, I sure appreciate you doing this. What is there anything else, any other topic we should cover with a call-in show?
But there's lots of call-in stuff. One of the, I don't care if it's the recidivism in the jail or why our jail is not even half full compared to the rest of the state. Those are some things that
I think we know that answer, though.
Well, but the callers might not. But that's some things that we can talk about. My gosh, we can we have so many topics. And again, I thank you because your dad and I used to do this a long time ago, and we would just kind of open it up to mm-hmm. wide open topics and let the callers call in. And I like doing it, and I think it's informative to the public.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate your time. I know how busy you are, but for you to give us an hour this morning, we really appreciate it, sir. If you have a topic you would like to hear the sheriff address during any of these forums, please send it our way. Call the radio station, send email at news@ktlo.com. Let the sheriff know. We're always open for it. This is what we love to do as well. This is as local as it gets, and you know that's what we're trying to do. Sheriff, we appreciate your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.